This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Jet Setter Show, where we explore lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Enjoy and learn from a variety of experts on topics ranging from upscale travel at wholesale prices to retiring overseas, to global real estate and business opportunities, to tax havens and expatriate opportunities. You'll get great ideas on unique cultures, causes, and cruise vacations. Whether you're wealthy or just want to live a wealthy lifestyle, the Jet Setter Show is for you. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
It's my pleasure to welcome Justin Crabb. He is the founder and CEO of Jetly. Justin, how you doing?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Where are you located?
We're located in New York City as well as Toronto, Canada.
Fantastic. You sound like a Canadian. I can just hear it in your voice. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right. Born and raised.
There you go. Good deal. Well, hey, there are a lot of people out there trying to disrupt the private aviation business and make private flying affordable. And it seems like an almost impossible task. JetSmarter probably came the closest to that, although I think JetSmarter was a scam, and I saw that long before the Attorney General did, I'll tell you that much. They later sold to XO. I think they just sold kind of their technology, nothing else, really, is my understanding. But, you know, what is the thing in this world? What's going to make it work to where this can finally become more accessible and affordable? Maybe you're doing it. Tell us more.
It is quite difficult in this particular industry simply because there's a lot of fluctuating costs and variables. You know, you've got fuel costs that are tremendously high and the aircraft cost, of course. You know, a typical aircraft that we charter could be $30 to $40 million, where, you know, if you compare that to something that's more affordable for the mass market in terms of transportation, such as Uber, you know, you can find a car for just $9,000 or $10,000. So it is quite difficult to make it attractive to the mass market. However, one of the ways that you could at least supplement the cost is to sell the individual seats on board the aircraft out to each person. So if the aircraft has 10 seats on board, you could sell 10 essentially tickets to that aircraft.
The problem is it's incredibly difficult to get that coordinated at a time and a place that everybody
Correct.
Wants to travel. And, you know, obviously that's what big airlines do, but they have such an infrastructure and the tickets are so cheap that they can do it most of the time. Now, let's just kind of segment this interview a little bit so it's more understandable for the listeners. In my eyes, there are really three forms, correct me if I'm wrong, Justin, of private travel, private aviation travel. Number one is just chartering a plane for yourself and maybe your group of friends or family or business associates. Okay, that is super expensive. You're going to be starting there probably at no less than maybe $6,500 an hour, I'm guessing. Then a company maybe like yours can actually set up its own mini airline where you do, I guess, what you'd refer to as shuttle flights. And those shuttle flights will have predetermined departures and destinations at predetermined times, and you try to sell as many seats as you can for those. And then the third form is the empty legs or the deadheads, as it's known in the industry, where that plane is going, it's been called to pick up a paying passenger that is willing to foot the big bill for the charter of the plane, but it's got to get to that destination to pick them up, and it might ride empty on the way. So is there another aspect, or are those really kind of the three categories, if you will?
You know, those are the main three for sure. And, you know, those are the options that you have in this industry. Beyond that, you've got jet cards that function, you know, similar to a debit card, essentially the company or the...
Well, that's just a way to pay for it, though. It's a way to pay
right,
for one of those three
right.
things, right? So, yeah,
that's right.
That's
and then the fractional ownership yeah. model where right. you're purchasing a portion of the aircraft itself, that gets
right.
more expensive. But on the more economical side, you know, you've got it nailed there. Those are the three.
Yeah. If you want to have five forms, you can buy a plane and really
correct.
Dive
that's
in.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, if you really want to
Right.
waste your money, and I've done that twice, by the way, and it is a
Right.
massive
Right.
waste of money. Good. So with those three basic ways to travel, do you cover all three of those at Jetly?
We don't cover, our typical client doesn't like to share the aircraft with third parties. And that's one of the things that we've stayed away from. We've investigated that carefully, followed the JetSmarter model quite closely. But, our clients typically like to keep the aircraft for themselves or for their family or for their associates. They don't want to coordinate schedules with third parties. Another person may be late,
Got
the
it.
aircraft is delayed,
Yeah.
they've missed their meeting, things of that nature. So that's the one element that we don't offer.
Okay.
But the empty leg, as well as the whole aircraft charter, or the on-demand charter is what we call it, we do offer.
Okay. So empty legs, those are sort of the bargain of the private aviation industry, but they're hard to find because there are only so many jets going to pick people up all around the world. And you would have to be super flexible with very little notice to be able to jump on that plane at a moment's notice, maybe a day, maybe two if you're lucky, going to that exact destination at that exact time, right?
Not necessarily. You tend to know at least a few days out, or once it's plugged into the schedule of the operator's scheduling software, there's an empty leg that's created. But 2 or 3 days out, the schedule will get finalized and they'll know where they're going to fly the aircraft inbound. So, to your point, they are constantly changing. It's very fluid in the empty leg market. But with that, if you are flexible on your departure and your destination, you could save substantially, in some cases up to 60 or 70% of the whole aircraft charter price.
Okay. What is the typical, like, do you have an average customer ticket, if you will, a typical charter price?
Our typical charter price is about 25,000 to 30,000 USD. They're about 3 hours long, longer that you wouldn't be able to drive it, but short enough that it's not transcontinental or something like that.
Right.
So that it's the $25,000 to $35,000
Yeah.
ballpark range.
So I gotta tell you something funny about that. I have a real estate investment company, and one of our clients is a famous, well, rock star, and literally, and he chartered a jet as the hurricane was approaching Florida recently to get him and the band out of there quickly after his last gig here, and he was texting me afterwards, and he said, "Boy, I could have purchased another property from you for that, the price of that plane." It's like, it's just
Oh,
so
yes.
expensive. It's what's going to be the thing that ultimately cracks the code and makes this somewhat accessible to the mass market? It seems to me like the way it's going to work is obviously through technology, so you've got that right. But also, it's going to be the company that has the biggest network of empty leg flights, because how many of those are there every day in the US or the world? What kind of numbers are we looking at?
At any given moment, we've probably got between 1,500 and 2,500 empty legs available on our system.
Is that in
Statistically, about 50.
the US, and is that per day,
That's
per
on a global basis, and that is per day. They're constantly flying, and statistically, these private jets are flying empty about 50 or 60% of the time. So it's a massive factor for the operators and their overhead costs. So they're widely available. It's a matter of locating one that works for your itinerary and your travel schedule.
But still, that's going to cost you 40 to 50% of the normal price. So that average charter that you talked about, that's $25,000, it's going to cost you $12,000 to fly this way, give or take.
Right.
Still pretty expensive unless you're filling that plane with a group of colleagues or friends or something. If you have every seat in the plane full, it actually does become moderately economical. But if you're just going to jump on that plane solo, oh my God, it's still really expensive.
Right. On the other hand, I personally have flown on business class or first class where the tickets have been $4,000 to $5,000 per ticket. So if you've got
Right,
three
but
or four
that was a
people that are
long haul
coming in your
flight.
family.
That was a long haul
Right,
flight, though.
that's a longer haul flight.
That
Yeah.
wasn't a
So,
3 hour flight.
if you fill the aircraft, of course, if you fill the aircraft, it really does start to make sense. And that's the biggest argument with companies that are coming to us with their team of executives. The flexibility is very valuable to them, and in some cases, filling the aircraft is less than the cost of a commercial ticket. especially a business class ticket.
Yeah.
But it is going to be difficult until the operating costs and the purchase of the aircraft, the price of the aircraft becomes at least more reasonable for the mass market for them to appreciate.
Okay, so are the networks different? You say that you've got 2,500 empty legs in your system. I guess your customers can access those on the Jetli app, I'm guessing, on any given day, and that's all around the world. So is that the same network that, say, EXO or one of your other competitors has, or is it a different network?
To my understanding, I'm not sure if EXO or the other competitors are operating the aircraft, but basically, if they're not operating and owning the aircraft themselves, it essentially is the same network because they're tapping into third-party owners, and everybody's tapping into the same owners. You know, there's a limited number or a finite number of aircraft around the world. It doesn't tend to change very much. So everybody else would be tapping into the same network.
Okay, so all of these different companies out there are really just using the same network. It would be analogous to, in the real estate business, the multiple listing service, right? Not every property's in there, but most of them are. So that empty leg network is going to be the same for everybody, right?
That's correct, unless there's some sort of partnership or a deal between the operator and the provider of the empty legs. Where they purchase them at a deeper discount or lock them in or something of that nature.
Okay.
I believe that JetSmart tried that initially.
Yeah, interesting. So what makes Jetli unique then? What's sort of the unique selling proposition, if you will, for your company?
We really pride ourselves in the service level and the 24-hour aspect of the operation. One of the things that you'll find with other brokers and e-brokers and providers, we should say, is you may not get a reply. It'll be cumbersome to deal with the payment process and the flow of the bookings. Everything can be done usually within 15 minutes. We can have you at least booked in and up in the air in as little as 30 minutes to an hour, depending on the availability of the aircraft. And that's all done seamlessly at the click of a button. With at least minimal intervention by a human, there always will be a human intervention in this industry, in my opinion, just there's so many moving parts. But that's where we really focus our efforts, is getting people the options that they want. Usually within 5 to 10 minutes is our average response time from our operator network and our team of flight success managers.
Yeah, that must be just incredibly convenient. I have not done that many private flights in my life, but boy, it must be nice. I just have a very hard time, having grown up poor, and now even though I have the money, I have a very hard time justifying it, to be honest with you. It's just incredible. But when I was in France at the Cannes Film Festival a couple years ago, I took Uber helicopter a few times. And that was a pretty neat service, and it wasn't that expensive. I mean, you know, $180 for 20 minutes, which is about what you'd expect to pay on a helicopter, but it got you through so much traffic. It was incredibly convenient. What do you see coming in the future for your industry?
On the near future, I believe that the smaller scale aircraft, you can have multiple smaller aircraft that will connect you up to smaller airports with shorter runways. They also charge a lot less, or they cost a lot less to purchase and operate. If there are a number of these air taxi type networks and a lot more of these entrepreneurs or aviation entrepreneurs that start these air taxi operations, we could connect them up to our network and give them a number of clients that are looking for short haul flights on a more cost effective basis. A lot of times people, clients will come to us and they'll request a very small airport, but there's limited options in our particular network that can service that airport because the landing and takeoff distance of that aircraft is too long and there's no aircraft that can get into there.
Yeah. That in the U.S., there are so many of these small,
exactly,
very underused municipal airports. It's just a great opportunity for these aircraft and for the providers like yours, and, you know, just really, really an exciting opportunity to use those airports.
Exactly. You know, and the cost to operate them, are substantially less. On the flip side, the public needs to become aware that these operators and these aircraft exist. A lot of people are, they shy away for whatever reason. I'm a pilot myself. I fly small aircraft all the way up to the large aircraft. And it doesn't matter which aircraft you're flying in, it's going to be safe and regulated. A lot of customers and passengers prefer the larger aircraft because they feel that it's safer. You know, if it's got two engines, that's a big question that we get asked quite often, where the public needs to become knowledgeable that these aircraft exist and they're just as safe and regulated and much more affordable. They may not have the class and the appeal, but they're still a great way to transport.
What is the smallest, lightest plane you fly? Are you 100% jet or do you have turboprop?
We have single engine piston. We have less than turboprop.
Oh, wow.
So we have down Cirrus SR-22s.
I bought an SR-22. Yeah. Okay. So
I fly them.
What is the price for those really small aircraft?
They're about $1,200 an hour. The industry doesn't tend to give them away simply because you know, it doesn't make sense for the operators, but they can get quite cheap and economical, especially when you fill it to capacity with four people and you're beating, you know, New York City traffic or cottage country traffic, in other words, getting to the Hampton. Yeah.
So they started about $1,200 an hour. And then, you know, for any jet, you're going to be at what, about $6,500 an hour plus, right?
Depends on what you're looking at. But, you know, a light jet could be about $3,500 to $4,000 an hour. And that would be on a Citation CJ2 or something of that nature with six seats on board.
Wow. Yeah,
and again, depending on what the flying is. So, you know, it can be less than 6,500. On the higher end, you're about 11,000 or 12,000 an hour for a heavy jet.
One of the things that I think could really disrupt the industry, and someone has tried to do it. I remember the big fight. It happened to be in Arizona over this. I think it's FAA Part 135. Is that the proper? I may be wrong about that, but
that's,
you know, basically where that is correct. Okay, good. So that's the charter license, right? And people have been trying to make flying in small planes like Uber or Lyft, where people can just summon them and go with a pilot. But you can't do that for money. It's illegal to do that. For you to fly people around for a fee, you got to have a different license and I believe a level of inspection on your airplane too, right?
Right. Substantially different levels of licenses as well as inspections. The law says that you can split the cost evenly. So, for example, if you and I are flying to the cottage and it costs
$500. Right.
You could pay for $250 for oil, you know, maintenance and a little bit of fuel into that for the hour flight or 2 hours of that flight. But it's got to be evenly divided, including the pilot.
This, folks, is known as the $100 hamburger. But it's gone
That's
up
correct.
With inflation. It's the $500 hamburger.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course.
So is that going to change? Does it need to change? You know, if the FAA would loosen up on that a little bit, you know, while still ensuring a degree of safety for passengers, I mean, that would disrupt the industry. All of these private pilots would be able to get more hours for themselves and become better pilots. They would get some money to defray the cost of running their aircraft and getting them some hours. And it just seems like it'd be a great thing if you could do that.
Right, of course. And I do see that as a potential for the market. I do believe that there's some players in the European markets that have entered and their regulations are different than what the FAA and Transport Canada put in place. But I do see that as being quite disruptive and attractive as well as the pilot myself and with a lot of friends that are pilots.
Very interesting. Justin, anything else you want to share with our listeners? Questions I didn't ask you, whatever.
That's everything. It's been great talking to you.
All right. Thank you. And the app is available for smartphones and it's just called Jetly, right?
That's correct. Okay. Jetly, and it's jetly.com is the website.
Justin, thanks for joining us and happy flying.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guest opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please
please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.